Chapter 3. My gray 46 Ford was parked in front of the house. Tant Lou, in her black overcoat and black rimless hat, and Miss Emma, in her brown coat with the rabbit fur around the collar and sleeves, and her floppy brown felt hat, followed me out to the car and stood back until I had opened the door for them. Not only was I going up to Henri Pachot's house against my will, but I had to perform all the courtesies of chauffeur as well. After they had settled in the back seat, filling it completely, I slammed the door and went around to the other side and got in. I could feel my aunt's eyes on the back of my neck for shutting the door as I did. Miss Emma probably would have looked at me the same way, but her mind was on other things. As I drove by the church where I taught school, I thought about all the work I had to do, and I reminded myself that I had seen one of the men on the plantation about getting a load of firewood for the heater. I tried to remember who had brought up the last wagon load of wood. 15 or 20 families sent their children to the school, and I always made it a point, they expected it of me, to ask them to do something for the school during the 6-month session. I would ask one of the older children to tell me who had brought in the last load of wood. I stopped at the side gate to Henri Pachot's large white and gray antebellum house. When my aunt started to get out of the car to open the gate for me, I told her to keep her seat because I had nothing to do all that day but serve. I felt her eyes on the back of my neck again, then on the side of my face as I pushed open the gate, and on me directly as I came back to the car. After driving into the yard, I had to get out again to shut the gate. Since the side entrance led from the quarter to the house, Henri Pachot never used this gate. Only tractors, wagons, and trucks used this entrance, and over the many years they had cut just as many ruts across the yard. I must have hit every one of them, driving up to the house. My aunt never said a thing, but I could feel her eyes on the back of my neck. I was not aiming for the ruts, but I wasn't avoiding them either. I could hear them bouncing on the back seat, but they never said a word. After parking under one of the great live oaks not far from the back door, I turned around to look at my aunt. "Am I supposed to go in there too?" She looked at me, but she didn't answer me. She thought I had hit those ruts on purpose. "It was you who said you never wanted me to go through that back door ever again. Do I have to keep reminding you, Grant? This ain't just another day." "He don't have to go," Miss Emma said for about the 100th time. She was looking at me but not seeing me, and not meaning what she was saying either. "He's going," my aunt said. She was definitely seeing me. "Mr. Henri won't come to him." "Oh yes, I keep forgetting that," I said. "Mr. Henri won't come to me." After a minute of grunting and straining, they were able to get out of the car. I followed them into the inner yard, up the stairs, to the back door. The maid, Inez Lane, had seen us come into the yard, and she opened the door for us. Inez was in her early 40s, I suppose. She wore a white dress, white shoes, a blue gingham apron, and a kerchief on her head. She had a dark mole on her left cheek. She nodded to my aunt and me and spoke to Miss Emma. "I heard," she said. "I would like to speak to Mr. Henri of his home," Miss Emma said. "Talking to Mr. Lewis in the library," Inez said. "Like to speak to him if he don't mind," Miss Emma said. Inez nodded and left us. I looked around the kitchen. I had come into this kitchen many times as a small child, to bring in wood for the stove, to bring in a chicken I had caught and killed, eggs I had found in the grass, and figs, pears, and pecans I had gathered from the trees in the yard. Miss Emma was the cook up here then. She wore the white dress and white shoes and the kerchief around her head. She had been here long before I was born, probably when my mother and father were children. She had cooked for the old Pachots, the parents of Henri Pachot. She had cooked for Henri and his brother and sister, as well as for his nieces and nephews. He did not have any children of his own. She cooked. She ran the house. My aunt washed and ironed, and I ran through the yard to get the things they needed to cook or cook with. As a child growing up on this plantation, I could not imagine this place, this house, existing without the two of them here.